Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to LinkedIn and personal branding coach Megan McNeil. Now stand by for part two of the pod and lots of LinkedIn tips. Thanks for downloading. Now, in the first part, we talked about how to become more comfortable on LinkedIn and how to cull and mute some of your connections. In this part, I'm talking to Megan about dealing with ego and trying to look normal on LinkedIn, if that makes sense. Also chatting about video posts and a bunch of tips on how to build a better profile. Now, you can find Megan on LinkedIn, of course, and at relevantbusiness.com.au. That's relevantbusiness.com.au. Megan also has a LinkedIn profile checklist as well available on her website. All the links, including a link to the checklist, are in the show notes, so make sure you check them out. Now, can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media and subscribe via your favourite podcast app. Just check out all the links in the show notes. Right, let's carry on from where we left off on part one. There seems to be quite a big trend on LinkedIn at the moment. I've seen quite a bit of it. Again, it could be that I'm following the wrong people. Of folks offering up very personal information, extremely personal information, telling their stories of their medical history or telling their stories of their children's history and things like that. And I don't want to be an old cynic about it, but these posts do seem to get lots and lots of likes and lots of comments and, you know, people who jump out in the middle of the day and say, they start off a post with something like, for example, I'm not afraid to say, I'm having a hard day today. And I mean, you might be having a hard day. This might be authentic. It might be. But there's a little bit at the back of my mind which says, are you just trying to get some likes and comments here? Am I too cynical about this?
Oh, there's definitely a bit of that involved in it as well, I would say. But I do think that there is value in some of those vulnerable posts because you just never know who is looking that actually needs to hear what you're saying and needs to know that they're not the only one that's going through that. Us all having a hard day and, you know, on a Friday going, oh, I can't wait till the end of the week. This week's been horrendous. Most of us are feeling that way. That's just a nonsense post, in my opinion. Yeah. But if you've been going through something for a while, you know, a family member, you know, a child or a partner is going through chemo or, you know, a really terrible illness and it's something that you're not prepared for at all. And yet you're managing to balance life with that. You know, you're still running a business or you're still the CEO of a certain company or whatever it is. You know, someone else who is, you know, in the same position as you or someone who's in a lower position as you will see that as inspirational and will see it as motivation to be able to manage as well, if that makes sense. So I think if you are in a power of influence, so that means that, you know, you have an audience. Sometimes they need to see that. They need to see, one, that you are human, that you're not just a machine, because some very professional and very successful people can sometimes be seen as hard and as machines. So it does break that down. But I think more importantly, it actually kind of helps people who are going through the same thing realize that they're not alone.
Yeah. So you think it's okay? I'm a big believer that you ought to be human. I think that's just normal, to be honest with you, that you shouldn't be sort of like forcing some sort of weird personality out on social media. You should just you should just be human, sort of thing, and normal, I suppose, is the best thing. But sometimes I get a little bit, it's kind of like that's a little bit too much sharing.
Yeah, and if you're feeling that, then that probably is someone who's sharing a little bit too much. It's like anything. There's examples of where it's done well and there's examples of where it's done horrendously. And the problem is that you do get some people who genuinely do post out that kind of content because it will be helpful for someone else. They're going through something and they've managed to find a way around it, which might actually help the next person. That's fantastic. But then you do kind of get an onslaught of people who all jump on the bandwagon. They're all going through the same thing. And then you get a million posts that are very similar. So there's pros and cons to it. But, you know, that's what happens when you've got a platform like that. You're giving people the ability to put out whatever they want. But if you're finding people are, you know, sharing far too much, their breakfast to their bad days to their great days to everything, maybe we just give them a quick unfollow.
Yeah, I don't see too many breakfasts anymore. I used to see a lot of breakfasts at one time. I don't know whether it's just the algorithm, but I genuinely used to see a lot. This is what I'm having for breakfast today. My energy breakfast, so I can smash another day. And it's like, oh, my days. What? Just have a banana and some yogurt. It's like, what's wrong with you? I think this kind of moves us on to ego. And there is ego in social media. There's ego in life. I've got an ego. I'm you know, when back in my radio days, I was a right old diva. Why do people think filming in the front seat of their car is a good idea? At some point, they must have thought this is a really good idea to be shouting at my phone in the front seat of my car. Why do they do it?
I have got no idea why people do it. I find it hilarious as well. I have heard that the acoustics are really good in your car, so yeah. It might stem from that, perhaps. But I don't know. It's also to kind of demonstrate how busy I am. I'm in my car and I'm coming to you live from my car. I don't know. I don't agree with posts on your feed that are, you know, filmed from your car. A quick update on your stories? Yeah, sure, go for it. I mean, you've got a community on there, and that's what your stories are for. They're for those quick, personal, behind the seen moments that, you know, your actual community, your audience wants to see. But your feed, their feed's kind of going out to the whole world. No, get out of the front seat. Go yeah. somewhere else and film it.
Do you think it's because there's an awful lot I see as well of people just walking down the road with their holding their camera in, holding their phone in front of them on a selfie stick, and again shouting at it, and it's like stand still, just. Why? And they're always walking through like a really nice bit of Manchester or a nice bit of New York or a nice bit of London. They're not actually walking past the dodgy little estate where they live.
Of course not. I'm not going to show you that, am I? Oh, look, I have a friend who's an actress and she actually does on film camera confidence for women on camera and stuff. And one of her big pet hates is people walking along while they're filming themselves. And don't get me wrong, I know that there's, you know, if you're a Kardashian, yes, you get away with that. People will consume anything. They want to see what you're having for breakfast, lunch and dinner. But as business owners or as professionals with a career, no, that's not a brilliant look, I wouldn't say. It's also really hard to kind of keep up with what someone's saying because you're so distracted with where they are. The wind normally gets them. And if you're a woman, your hair's everywhere. I don't really understand why people do that. There was definitely some psychology behind the whole in the car, in front of the car, down the street mentality. And I think it is a little bit of here I am and look what I'm doing. Look how busy I am. I'm out and about. Perhaps something to do with that.
Yeah, maybe. And does the passive-aggressive shouty video get results? Again, my algorithm is completely messed up, so I'm going to go and unfollow loads of people. Sorry. If anybody's listening, I'm going to unfollow later on today. These passive-aggressive, these sort of like shouty videos, where they're not aggressive, but the language is kind of like smashing and nailing and bludgeoning and destroying and killing the competition and all this, they seem to get a lot of comments and a lot of likes. Does this mean they work?
Well, they do to a certain degree, actually. Unfortunately, if you're selling something that you're wanting to sell en masse, people kind of get caught up in the moment and get a little bit caught up in that whole kind of excitement of it. And when you're shouting to a certain mentality, that seems like things are working more. But if you're looking for decent clients and, you know, high ticket items, etc., or you want a better job or you want to be taken seriously, no, that doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work if you are progressing your career. If you have your own business and, like I said, you're selling some kind of item that, you know, attracts that type of person, then yes, it will work, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately, that's fantastic for them. That's a completely different strategy. To me, that's not long lasting though, because you can't shout in every single video and you can't keep that up. I want to have a business that still works in sort of 10, 20, 30 years time. It'll look completely different, don't get me wrong, but it will still work. Whereas these are so short lived because it's just continual shouting, and they're shouting about one thing, then they're shouting about the next. And you don't have that, you don't keep that audience for as long either, because people get really put off that. Once you've bought whatever this low ticket item is that they're offering and it doesn't work for you, other than if you're shouting as well, or the shouting doesn't work for you, then you get put off and you move on to the next one. So does it work short term? Yes. Does it work long term? No, definitely not.
I think it's a lot of it is about energy levels, isn't it? Where that energy level is. If you are keeping your energy levels above normal for years at a time, you're going to burn out eventually, aren't you?
You would think so, yeah. You can't be that excited all the time.
No, you can't. And do the comments and the likes on these kind of attention videos, are they kind of less worthy, do you think? Do you think it's just people commenting again just for the hell of commenting on it?
Well, they could be part of pods, or yeah, they could be that there's someone for everyone, unfortunately. And the thing is, people who shout the loudest generally have got followers who also shout the loudest. So my clients don't generally, they don't post a lot, they don't actually they don't comment a lot, not until we start working together, but I'm talking about clients that I attract in the first place. They are not posting a lot, they're not commenting a lot, there's not a lot of activity going on. They're quite behind the scenes, like they've got successful businesses or they're quite high up within their corporate career, but they're not very forthcoming with it. Now, that's been fine for years, but we're more in a digital world now, so that's what they have to do, and they know that's what they have to do, so we work on a strategy around that. But if I was a shouty kind of person, I would attract those shouty kind of people too, who are very used to liking and commenting and sharing and putting gifts all over things. So you kind of attract what you attract, if that makes sense. And if your clients are the shouty kind, then yeah, maybe that does make sense to you. Whereas I'm less concerned about those vanity metrics. I don't care how many likes I have or how many comments I have. Yes, it's great for the algorithm and it'll get it out to more people. But at the end of the day, I'm more interested in how many people are coming into my direct messages and into my inbox than I am how many likes and little smiley faces I get.
So have you got any techniques, or how can we stop ourselves from posting that ego post? If we suddenly see, somebody who's posted something in the front seat of their car, they're having loads and loads of likes and shares and comments and all sorts of stuff. I'm going to do one now because that's what I have to do. How do you kind of stop yourself from doing that?
Oh, look, if you feel in the remotely tempted to go and do one of those videos, you will do it anyway. The majority of us will look at that video and think, okay, what a numpty, and we're not going to do it. If it doesn't sit right with you, don't do it. And I don't think that most of the people that are listening to your podcast, John, they're not those types of people, so they're not going to be tempted to do that. They're sitting here agreeing with us going, yeah, I don't understand why people do that. But that doesn't matter that we don't understand, because those aren't our kind of people, but there's someone out there for them. So just as long as you're true to yourself. And look, if you're a car salesman, then by all means, maybe you do want to do your videos inside a car. I mean, I actually...
That would make sense.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? It's the same with, you shouldn't have alcohol on your LinkedIn profile, if in your profile pictures or anything like that. But if you own a brewery or a bar, then, go for it. That's exactly what you're here for. So yeah, I think there is always exceptions to the rules. You've got to do what makes you comfortable. If you actually feel a bit icky posting it, it's a different thing to feel a bit nervous and a bit anxious and kind of scared, but also excited, because that means it's a little bit difficult and it's probably going to come back good for you. But if you feel icky about it, don't do it. And I don't think anyone listening to your podcast is watching those going, yeah, I'm definitely going to get into my car right now and start recording.
Please don't, because you'll have me going to those little three dots and unfollowing you if you do that.
Yep.
Yeah. So talking about video and things like that, does video tend to work better on LinkedIn than text and images? I know it does on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and that. But what about LinkedIn?
Yeah, so dwell time is really important on LinkedIn, and videos, because you obviously have to stop and watch it, gives you a higher dwell time, which is fantastic. That sweet spot is about 30 to 60 seconds, but you have got up to 10 minutes, but after the 1 minute, it kind of the reach decreases rapidly. Mm. If you're not comfortable making videos, though, that's not a big deal, because you can actually do carousels. Now, a carousel, if you're familiar with Instagram, is where you've got posts and you flick through them. You can do the exact same thing on LinkedIn, but it goes up as a document. I make mine on Canva, and it's fantastic because you can get up to 10 different posts on there and people scroll through them. That gives a much longer dwell time. So there's your two options. You've got your video or you've got your carousels, which would be a document. So you've got two options, whether you're comfortable on camera or not.
So dwell time, this is how long people actually, LinkedIn is measuring how long we're looking at a particular post, right? And then presumably the algorithm says lots of people spend lots of time on this post, then we put this post out to more people.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting. I think it's more to do with the demographic of who we have on LinkedIn, because I mean, younger demographic is really quite comfortable on social media. We're used to we're used to Facebook, Instagram, we've got TikTok, we had Snapchat, all of that stuff. So we're very comfortable on there. Whereas it's generally a decision-making, quite serious demographic that we have on LinkedIn. And like I said to you before, they're quite passive. So they're not actually commenting. It's very hard for us to know if we've got any traction or not. Whereas the dwell time, I think, is LinkedIn kind of accommodating for that, I would say.
If we hate video, like I'm back from old radio days, so you know, video is like, don't get a camera anywhere near me. It's like, please no. And I've got no hair, and I'm old, so it's like, just keep the camera away. How do we get over this? Do we just not put ourselves in the video, like you said, and just do other stuff, or do we just have to suck it up, really?
Well, you've got a couple of options. One is that you suck it up. If you know it's going to be good for your business or your career, then yes, you just have to do it. And it's like anything, the first couple will be absolutely terrible, but in 6 months' time, when they are good, you've got somewhere. Whereas if you start in 6 months' time, you've still got all of those rubbish ones to get through until you start getting somewhere. So now is as good a time as any to start. If, however, you are just not comfortable on video and you've tried absolutely everything, you've got no emotion, you sound monotone and it's horrendous, don't do it, because that's actually more detrimental. You might be fantastic in real life, but it doesn't mean that you'll be great on video. And if you just don't get comfortable, then it'll be detrimental, because I'll watch that video and I'll go, this person got a personality? This is horrendous. And I'm put straight off you. Whereas that's completely different to watching a video where you can tell someone's very nervous, but they know their stuff. In which case, I'll probably keep watching. And then 6 months later, I'm going, oh, this person really does know their stuff. I want to work with them.
So, but that leads into the authenticity thing again, doesn't it? That if you are a little bit nervous, but you do sound as if you really know your stuff, that's authentic.
Oh, yeah, completely. And it's like public speaking. God, I hate public speaking. But when I started my business, I knew I had to do it. And so you get up there and you do it, and now it's fine. Well, I say fine. I still don't particularly like it, but I do it. But I know my stuff. So when I get up there and someone throws a question at me, I'm not going, oh, and then you're wanting to sink away. I actually know I've got some answers for them. If you don't know your topic, then again, you're not being authentic, because that's not your thing. If you know your thing, it shouldn't matter. Just get on there and do it. Have a few practice runs. Do it in front of the mirror if you have to. Our phones are fantastic. If something like having the best equipment is putting you off, that's ridiculous. Our phones, if anyone's got a phone from the last like 2 years, I think, we've all got 4K videos on there. That's incredible. We're going to be able to see absolutely everything on you. So you've got the equipment in your hand if video is what you want to do. It doesn't have to be amazing. It just has to be short and sweet. It has to be authentic, and it has to be adding value. It has to be real, and it has to be you.
Okay, final question then. Have you got any tips for doing a good profile? What should we have on our profile?
Well, we need to concentrate on that first third, that very, very top bit, because one, people are extremely lazy, and two, people are extremely visual. So the likelihood of them actually scrolling down and getting more content from your profile is slim to none unless you've actually captured them in. So let's focus on that very top part. So first up is your profile picture. You might think that you've got a great profile picture where you're looking wistfully into the distance. If people know you, yes, of course, that's a nice picture and they might enjoy that. But if it's the first time that someone's actually seeing you, you want a picture that actually, you can, we can see your eyes, you're actually looking at the camera and that you're smiling, because we want to come across as friendly. We want people to actually connect with us, and we want them to think, oh, they're a good person to do business with. The other thing is that obviously straight underneath your name you must have, but under there we have a headline. Make sure that that headline doesn't say what you want it to say. If you're a CEO, that's brilliant, but really nobody cares apart from your mum. Your mum's like, fantastic, you're a CEO. But the person who's wanting to work for you or wanting to work with you in your business isn't looking at that going, oh, that's fantastic, Gary, I want that. They're looking at it going, what's in it for me? So tell them exactly what it is that you do. What is it that you do, and who do you do it for, and how do you do it? Get as many keywords in there as possible. CEO, how many CEOs do you think that there are on LinkedIn? So when I search CEO, what am I going to find?
Oh, good grief. I would say millions of CEOs.
You've got hundreds of them, thousands of them.
Yeah. They're everywhere, right? You shake a stick for a CEO to draw, and they'll just fall out, won't they? They're everywhere.
100%. And the other part of your profile you want to focus on is your header as well, because that is free advertising space.
Sure.
So if you've got the old generic, I managed to download LinkedIn header up there, you want to change that for something that actually says what you do. So yeah, make it visual, make it appealing. People aren't going to scroll much further than your name and what it is you do in that top header. So you want to capture them as much as possible in that top part.
I think I see a lot of LinkedIn profiles where you've got that little description of who you are, where they start off saying something like helping busy small business owners do. And then on a mobile phone, it's gone. It's cut off. And all we can't actually, we don't know what you do. We don't know whether you're an accountant, a marketing person. We don't know what you do, because all we can see is that you're helping small business owners do, and then it's gone.
Yeah, there's some value in that, but you're right. You've got to get those keywords in quickly as possible. So sometimes it involves flipping it around rather than having the big sentence in there. And also helping. Yeah, that's fantastic that you're helping that person. But if you take that away and you actually put the keyword in first, you're going to rank higher than that helping word, which I know a lot of people are using. I would still much prefer seeing that though than CEO / dad / football coach.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, great, but what do you do for me?
Yeah, it's kind of like what you do instead of who you are, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I generally go for the who you're helping, what you're helping them with, how you do it, and then having three keywords at the end that you kind of put that slash in between. That's how I like to set it up. I like, you've got 220 characters there now, so there's a decent amount of space. And like you said, you might not get that all, you might not be able to read it all on your phone, but Google's still looking at that, LinkedIn's still looking at that. You're still going to start reaching people because of those words, even if they're not seeing it.
Fantastic. I could talk to you forever about this. Where can we find you, Megan? Where's your website? Where's your social media bits?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, obviously.
Yes, of course, yeah. I'll leave a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, so I'm generally on LinkedIn or Instagram, because I do like a little bit of the gram, because I'm quite visual. So it's Relevant Megan on Instagram. It's just Megan McNeil on LinkedIn. And my website is www.relevantbusiness.com.au. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, John. Thank you so much for this.
No, I really appreciate it. I've really enjoyed this chat, to be honest with you, because I'm a bit of a LinkedIn cynic. Again, and I think we found out why, is that I've got to unfollow a bunch of people, haven't I, really?
We need a good cull.
We certainly do. I really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks again to Megan for her time. Now, don't forget to visit her on LinkedIn and also at relevantbusiness.com.au. Grab a copy of Megan's LinkedIn profile checklist, which is on her website. All the links are in the show notes. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favourite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.